The Lord replied, I have forgiven them, as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it.
Six passages point to the same truth about Caleb, that he had a different spirit and followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Yet, each passage comes from a different context. So I was given different context, you know, according to the passages. In the first passage, God himself commands Caleb, saying that he had a different spirit and followed him wholeheartedly. That's the scripture I just read. In the second passage, different scripture, Moses quotes God's word as a testimony concerning Caleb. In the third, Moses uses Caleb's example as a testimony and an encouragement to the new generation of Israelites. In the fourth, when Caleb asks Joshua for his inheritance, he quotes God's words as a testimony on his own behalf. In the fifth, Caleb refers to Moses' testimony concerning him. In the sixth, the last one, the author of the book of Joshua concludes by affirming Caleb's faithfulness. But very interestingly, the New Testament does not mention Caleb at all. Not one single scripture reference talk about Caleb. Nor is he mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament after the book of Judges. This is really strange. Anyway, my second sermon focused on how Caleb became a man who followed the Lord wholeheartedly. If you still remember, I used a lot of the Exodus events. I connected Caleb's understanding of God with God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Like his family and friends, Caleb then was born a slave in Egypt. God was the God of his ancestors, but Caleb had no personal experience of him. Caleb never knew God personally. He was born a slave. But he knew there's God, but the God is of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Joseph. Not Joseph. I know the Chinese.
Jacob,
yes. Thank you. I have to put the Chinese back into English. through the Exodus events and the miracles that God performed, Caleb came to know the God of his forefathers as his own God. In that sermon, I used the events of the Exodus to illustrate the transformation that took place in Caleb's heart. From someone who did not truly know God to someone who followed the Lord wholeheartedly. That was my second sermon. And today I want to preach on Caleb again, the third sermon. I want to ask a question. Why? Why? I think some of you know the the Bible, when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, right? And how many came back to Jesus and thanked Jesus? 10 lepers that healed by Jesus, how many? Just only one. Yes, only one. So I have the same question now. There were 12 spies, right? The leader was Joshua. He was Moses' helper. So I put him away, aside. And then Caleb. Okay. And then we have the rest 10 spies, right? Why only Caleb came back and gave a positive report? This is my question. Why? So today I would like to continue speaking about Caleb. This time my focus is on the question, why only Caleb? Why was Caleb the only one who received God's commendation, right? God commends him. He is the one who has a different spirit and followed me wholeheartedly. The 12 men whom Moses sent to spy out Canaan were all leaders representing the 12 tribes of Israel. They were young, they were mature, they were capable, they were courageous leaders. They were leaders. Every tribe select a leader. That means this leader must be best of the best. When they returned to report to Moses and to the congregation, only Joshua and Caleb gave a positive report. They declared that with God's power, Israel could enter and take possession of the land of Canaan. Certainly, there would be battles to fight, and their enemies included giants living in the land. Nevertheless, they believed that with God on their side, Israel would be victorious. So only Joshua and Caleb trust the Lord and obey, just the song we just sang. Israel, with the help of God, would be victorious. But the other 10 spies, however, disagreed with Joshua and Caleb. They acknowledged that Canaan was indeed a good land, exactly as God had promised, a land flowing with milk and honey. The enormous cluster of grapes, along with the pomegranates and figs they brought back, was proof of its abundance. The land was exceedingly good. But they also reported that the people there living were powerful and that their cities were fortified and very large. Some of them even said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw, they are of great size. We saw the descendants of Anak there, the giants. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." That means the people there were giants. We were like grasshoppers. The attitude of these 10 men stood in complete contrast to that of Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb quieted the people and said, "Caleb, again, you stand out and said, we should go up and take possession of the land at once, for we can certainly do it. Certainly, we can do it." So we urged the people to trust the Lord. And even later, Caleb tore his clothes and he declared, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and we will give it to us. Only Do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. So, just on the contrast, not they devour us, but we devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So my question is, why? Why was Caleb the only, you know, person besides Joshua have this faith and trust? Why was the report of the 10 spies so negative? A report that discouraged the people and revealed a lack of faith. So where is the faith of the 10? You wonder? No, why? They were leaders, they were top of the top. Why they just do not have such faith? Why was Caleb's report so positive, a report that inspired courage and strengthened faith? Why did only Caleb receive God's approval? Approval, that means he and his descendants can inherit the land, while the other 10 did not. Why did the 10 spies lack faith, while Caleb alone possessed such remarkable confidence in God? So when you read the scriptures, did you ever ask yourself this question? Did you ever ask why? I will share the answer to these questions shortly. But before we share, I just want to ask, anyone remember what Caleb said when he asked Joshua for his inheritance? In the book of Joshua, chapter 14, 10 to 11. Declare, Caleb said, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive these 45 years. Here I am today, 85 years old, 15 years, and I will be 85, okay? How many are 80s now? No, don't show your hands. Caleb said, "Now then, just the Lord promised, he has kept me alive these 45 years." That means 40, his year 40, he crossed the, he was remained in the wilderness, but God allowed him the 45 years. "And here I am today," Caleb said, "85 years old. I am still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." I want to repeat this sentence. "Here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." What did he say? He said he wants to have a battle if there is a battle. Notice, Caleb talked about battle. Do you remember any battle recorded in the Exodus event? The book of Exodus records one battle. The book of Exodus tells us Israel has a battle, very first battle. And most of us are familiar with the account. Remember when Moses raised his hand, Israel prevails. When Moses lowered his hands, Who prevails? The enemy. The story is recorded in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. It is a very important passage. Yet, when we read it, our attention is almost always directed to what happened on the hill, to Moses raising and lowering his hands, and to the spiritual lessons we are commonly drawn from that scene, and teaching us the importance of prayer. Meanwhile, what was happening down on the battlefield is often overlooked, whether intentionally or unintentionally. So I want to get into that battle, the battle against the Amalekites and the source of Caleb's faith. This is my third point. I want to read the scripture, Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 16, for this battle. Verse 8, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites, and Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner," he said, "because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." The battle is very, very important, very significant for several reasons. This battle was the first battle after leaving Egypt. Actually, when they were living in Egypt, they never have any battle because they were slaves. If there is enemy, the Egyptian soldiers will fight. So it was Israel's first battle against leaving Egypt. Well, that means, you know, there is a battle. They were not trained. Soldiers need training or something like that. Huh? Okay, second point. The Amalekites took the initiative to attack. Not the Israelites attacked the Amalekites. The Amalekites came to attack. That means they came prepared for war. They wanted to stop the invasion. You know what I mean? Invasion, that means the people, a lot of them, the whole nation of Israel moved from Egypt out and enter into Canaan. Before they enter into Canaan, the Amalekites want to stop them. So they want to stop the invasion of the Israelites, the second point. The third point, Israel had to win. If they were defeated, could they return back to Egypt? Could they? No way. They could not return to Egypt. Well, if you know the account of the events, you know, when they have some difficulties, they claim, "What? Moses doing? Well, no, we return. Actually, not a single one can return. Because when they return, they get killed in Egypt. So the third point, when the battle is, you know, just so imminent, Israel had to win. If they were defeated, they could not return to Egypt. So that means this is a battle for their survival. Number four, the battle is not a game. As boys, we like to play games, you know, fighting. We have guns, shooting. It's not a game. It is a very bloody life and death struggle. Either they will kill the enemy, or the enemy will be killing them. I have written several, you know, words like this: annihilated, annihilated, wipe out. I learned this word in England, in UK, obliterated. Is it the word smash? Total smash, total wipe out. If they lost, they totally destroyed. So this is not a game, not fun. You know, the war in Ukraine, people die, injured, in hospital. This is the fourth point. And then I have the fifth point. Victory to Israel meant there was still hope of entering Canaan. If they were defeated, and it meant perishing in the wilderness. The whole name of Israelites will be vanished. Not a single Israelite will be survived. So Exodus chapter 4, 17, 8 to 16, this battle, if we read it, it uses only 9 verses to describe this battle. The passage tells us that the fighting continued until sunset. That means it's a long fight. And also described Moses' hand up, Moses' hand down, Moses' hand up, Moses' hand down. He tired, used a stone to support his arms. It's a long duration. Then Joshua, at last, overcame Amalek. In Chinese Bible, that means the king of Amalek was beheaded by Joshua and his army with the sword, and the battle came to an end. This is verse 13. I want to ask two questions about this battle. Where are the men, the Israel fighter or Israel soldier came from? The passage, chapter verse 9, talks about Moses asked Joshua to gather some men. Okay? But how many? Didn't mention how many. And then second question I asked, where did Israel have the weapons? If they want, they have to fight. That means they need a weapon, right? Anyway, I believe that every able-bodied adult, a male among the Israelites, would have been called to serve as a soldier. And I believe Caleb would have been also served, because he mentioned he was fighting in a battle. in the book of Joshua. At the age of 85, he said, if there is a battle, I will enter the battle. And I fight as the day that means I think this is the battle against the Amalek. Although the Bible does not mention him by name in this account, I believe he must have taken part in this battle. And I also believe the other 10 spy leaders were also listed and they fought in this battle. So, what did this battle mean for every Israelite who took part in it? It determined whether Israel could enter the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It enabled Israelites to experience God's faithfulness. It compelled the Israelites to participate in God's will. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Remember, the people of Israel moved out from Egypt. They're just like a mob. They were not trained soldiers. They have their families with them. So this battle compelled Israelites to participate in God's miracle. That means they were not ready to win. But with God's help, they won. And they no longer act as spectators. I want to distinguish, you know, in the past, in the rest of the Exodus account, the people of Israel were like a spectator. That means, who was the actor? It's Moses. Moses used his not sword, is a staff. Point to the water, and the water spread, right? And the people, they were watching. They don't have water, strike the rock, and the water came out. People watching. But this battle, people involving, not watching. They involved in this battle. So are they involved in God's miracle? So Caleb involved in this miracle. He understood God is truly a God of life, a God with power, a God with strength. In conclusion, we must ask, what did this battle mean to him? The answer is, it determined whether Caleb himself would enter the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. It enabled Caleb to experience God's faithfulness personally. It also compelled Caleb to participate in God's work, in God's miracle. He was no longer a spectator. So, very sadly, the other 10 spies who explored Canaan with Caleb failed to grasp this significance of the battle. They had forgotten God's promise. They overlooked God's faithfulness. They no longer appreciated the greatness of the miracle they had experienced when they joined God in defeating the Amalekites. Among the 12 spies, only Caleb treasured God's promises in his heart. He remembered the mighty works of God that he had witnessed, and he never forgot the greatness of having personal share in God's miraculous victory over the Amalekites. And that's why Caleb could say so earnestly before Moses, and the whole congregation, we should, for we can certainly do it. Caleb never forgot God's word. He never overlooked the mighty works he had witnessed. So as I bring this sermon to a close, do you remember the question I asked at the beginning? I asked the question, why? Why was Caleb the only one who had faith and trust? In the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse 7, Caleb said in his asking of the inheritance, he said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. I associated the battle with Caleb's inspiration that he has this conviction. And I want to use an illustration to end my sermon. During the spring plowing season, it rained for several days in a row. When walking along the edge of a field, I met an elderly farmer planting young trees. I said, with so much rain, these trees are sure to grow well. To my surprise, the old farmer disagreed. No, the old farmer said, don't be fooled into thinking that this kind of favorable weather is always good. It only encourages the roots to stay near the surface. When strong winds come, the trees will be blown over immediately. His word caught me off guard. The old farmer continued, on the other hand, if the weather is a little dry now, the trees will send their roots deep into the soil to search for water and nutrients. Then, no matter how strong the winds become, or how severe the drought is in the future, they will still be able to survive. I want to use this illustration. I think this is the same about faith. Faith grows through facing adversity. Faith reaches maturity through steadfast commitment. Caleb came to know God through the series of experiences during the Exodus, and his faith grew. The life and death battle against the Amalekites brought Caleb to complete obedience. He followed God wholeheartedly and devoted himself fully to him because of the battle, because he survived. He understood God's promise, God's faithfulness. So for us, following God is not merely a slogan or a banner to rally behind. It is a life of following Christ and wholehearted commitment. Following God is not an optional aspect of the Christian faith. It is a complete transformation of our spiritual lives. God's guidance is not always meant to keep us from the storms. Rather, he often leads us through them so that at the end of the storm, we may know him more deeply. We may know him more deeply because of the adversity, because of the storms. For Caleb, he knew God more because of the battle. He was not outsider, He was not a spectator. He involved, and he really knew God. Shall we pray?